Mem Gimel Lamed Aleph, the three lines from the bottom. Toshma, Porsin Machatzelas Al Gabi Kaveris Devorim B'Shabbos, B'Chamot Ne'achamot, B'Kshom Ne'akshomin, V'Vilvad Shlo Yiskavin Lotzut. Okay, the Gemara is asking here on Mevatel Klime Hechono, that you're allowed to put a mat on a beehive on Shabbos, either to protect it in the summer, that's what the Gemara thinks now, from the sun, or in the winter, from the rain, as long as you don't have kavana to catch the bees. So, lechara, you're allowed to take the machatzeles, and the kaveris is mukta, and you're being mevatlet to the kaveris. Where it says, v'achamayaskin on the ikadvash. Now it's talking where the kaveris isn't mukta, because there's dvash, there's honey inside the kaveris, which is not mukta. It says you can do it in the summer or the winter. So in the summer, there's honey. But it says you can do it in the winter too. In the winter, there is no honey in the beehive. So the whole beehive is mukta. Or it says, even in the winter, they leave the beeswax, the two things of beeswax, which the bees themselves get their nourishment from throughout the winter. But that is what's called, we'll see, is not mukta. The beeswax is also mukta. The choshev alai, no, you had kavana from before Shabbos that you wanted to use it. See Rashi. Dvash dovranitl, and the dvash is something that you can move around, right? Shtei chalos kol hakaveres osin oso hadvorim chalos chalos shel pichis dvash. The beehive is made of what's called chalos. In other words, they are combs, right? Combs. That's it. Combs of honey, the shaiva and wax. Honey and wax together. Kshirodim osam. When you take these combs out, menichin boshtai, and you leave two of them there. She is barn suman advarim polimosak shaman. That's what the bees eat during the winter. Kidisnan ba mocher sasvina. When a person buys a beehive, he leaves the contents of the beehive, so he leaves behind two of the combs for the bees, the new bees, to be able to get food from. Muktzas ninu, the devorim, they're muktzah for the devorim. You don't want to use them for yourself, so therefore they're muktzah. Hador havi le'dover sheno nito, and therefore you're still taking the mats and moving them for the sake of something that's muktzah. So you see, you're allowed to move something litzorich dover she'eno nitl. Zmora says, no, the choshev alayu, ne'es malachila. You had in mind that you're going to eat them. You decided to preempt the bees, and you want to eat those two combs yourself. The Gemara says, "Halo chashiv alayu, my osir." That means that if you didn't have intention to eat those two combs, but you left them for the bees, then it would be muktzah, and you wouldn't be allowed to put the mats on because you're not allowed to move around something for the sake of something that's osir. The Gemara says, "Ihachi hadatani v'vachli iskaven lotzud." Why did the Braisa have to say that as long as you don't have intention to catch the bees, you're allowed to do this? Liflo v'lisnei b'dida. Instead of introducing a new factor, tell me that there's a way that it's usher to do, even if you don't have kavana to capture the bees. Right? There's a way that it's usher to take the mats and cover the beehive, right? If in fact it's in the what's it called, the winter, and there is no honey, but there's these two no honey that's set aside for people's consumption, but these two combs that are set aside for the bees, and you didn't have intention to eat them from before Shabbos, so they're muktzah. Then you wouldn't be allowed to cover the beehive with a mat. So instead of telling me that there's a way that this osur, if you have kavana to capture the bees, tell me there's a way that it's osur if you didn't have kavana to eat these two combs in the winter. Let the Brisa say the following. When is it mutter to put the mats on the beehive kishechisha valeyan? If you had intention to eat the two combs yourself and not leave it for the bees. Avalochi shivalehen, but if you didn't have that intention, and therefore the two combs are set aside for the bees, and there's no other honey, so therefore the whole beehive is mukta, and you're not allowed to move a mat for the sake of the mukta. Where it says, no, the Brisa thought it more important to tell me that even if you had intention to eat those two combs, right, still, the only way it's mutter is if you don't have intention to capture the bees. If you have intention to capture the bees, then it's awesome. So that chiddush was more important to the Brisa than to tell me that if you didn't have machshava, that it would be awesome. That even if you did have machshava, there's a way that it's awesome. So Moshe says money. So who does this Brisa go according to? E Rib Shimon Lesley Mukta. If it's Rib Shimon, he holds that just having in mind that these two challah should go for the bees, it doesn't make a mukta. He doesn't hold that kind of mukta. So therefore there's no problem. You don't need machshava. E Rab Yehuda Kilo Miskavin Mayhavi, Hadavar Shin Miskavin Asar. If it's Rab Yehuda who holds a mukta, so therefore these things will be mukta, right? What does it help that you don't have kavana to capture the bees, even without kavana, it's asur. Because davar sheino miskaven is asur. So if you put the mat on the beehive and it captures the bees, even without kavana, right, even if it's possible to capture the bees, it's asur. So this brais, so the chara can't go according to anyone, right? If it's Reb Shimon, there's no mukta. So there's no halacha that you have to dafka be machshiv, choshev on the honeycombs before Shabbos. And if it's Rabbi Yehuda, then what the Brisa says, as long as you don't have kavana to capture the bees, isn't true. Because even if you don't have kavana, if it's possible to capture them, it's also. Or it says, "My vilvach lo yiskaven lotsu chlo yasena kemitsuda delish bekuhula ravcha ki heichid lo yisadstu." Doesn't mean you shouldn't have kavana in your mind to capture them. What it means is you shouldn't do it in such a way that it could possibly capture them. Should leave enough space that the bees can get out. Right? So we're not talking about kavana, we're talking about doing it in a way that's not capturing. Ravashi says another teretz. In other words, what was the whole question over here? We have a raya from this brisa that you're allowed to move something for the sake of something that's mukta, because you're allowed to cover the kaveris. So the Gemara said, no, the kaveris is not mukta, either because there's honey, or in the winter, the Gemara says, when there is no honey, it's talking where there's the two honeycombs and you had in mind to eat them yourself. You weren't mocked to them for the devori. Ravashi says, I have another answer. Miktani b'yemosachama u'b'yemosagashamim. It doesn't say that it's mutter both in the summer and the winter. And then you have a question, in the winter there's no honey. And you have to come on to this answer that you had intention to eat the two honeycombs. Right, mipnei hachama mipnei hachama b'kshom de'achshamim tani. Right, what it says is b'chama uvikshamim. It doesn't say b'yemos hachama b'yemos hachshamim. It means when there's sun and when there's rain, and that happens also not in the summer and in the winter. It happens also in the spring and in the autumn. When there is always honey in the beehive, still there's rain, right, and there's still sun. Yomei Nisan, there's sun, and Yomei Tishrei, there's rain. It's not the rainy season where there's no more honey, so there's no problem. There's honey in the beehive, and it's possible there's rain, it's possible there's sun. Right, the Yomei Nisan, the Yomei Tishrei, the Ika Chama, the Ika Tzina, the Ika Gishamim, the Ika Dvash. And there's always honey in the autumn and the spring, so there's no problem. So it's not talking in a time when there's no honey in the winter. It's talking in a time when there is honey all the time. Okay, Rashi. Chashiv alai mi esma lachila umani hi sheitzrichta litrutzei kishechishin uktani the dover shein miskavin mutter krib shimin. Right? Who is this brisa go according to? That you hold that you have to have machshava to eat from these two honeycombs. Otherwise, they're muktza for the dvorim and their aser. Right? So who is this according to? And also, that if you don't have kavana to capture them, that's okay. It must be Rav Shimon. Irib Shimon, Omar, Lomali Laok Meva Shechishe. According to Shimon, there's no such thing as Mukta Stam because you had intention to leave it for the bees. Shalo Yasenu Kimitsuda, Shalo Yichasena Kula. Right? What it means that you shouldn't have Kavana to capture doesn't mean in your mind. It means you shouldn't do it in such a way that you could capture them. You shouldn't cover the whole beehive. Ela denishbok ravcha. You should leave space. Shiyuchlu lotzei, so they could escape. Yehechid lo litzedu. In other words, they shouldn't be captured. Bahai kisri, by covering the beehive. Meila, by automatically they'll be captured if you don't leave any space. The afagav de lo mechaven lemeitzura. And even if you don't have kavana, since it goes like Rabbi Yehuda, it's aser. Ravashi omar laolam deika dvash tuva. This talking in every case where there's honey. With the Kashi, and your question, it says in winter too. Who said it? It never said winter. It just said when there's rain. There could be rain, even when it's not winter, in the autumn. Okay. Omer lohu Rav Sheshes, toku v'omru leil Rav Yitzchak, go out and tell Rav Yitzchak, kvar tirgam Rav Huna l'shmaisich b'vavel. Right, Rav Huna already said, your halacha, what Rav Yitzchak said, that ain't clean nittel, ella ledovra nittel, that was Rav Yitzchak before, yeah. I'm Rav Yitzchak, Hashem Shein Nosin Kli Tachas Tarnagolus, L'Kabel Beit Sosa, Tachin Kofin Ola Kli V'Shil Shlo Tishavir, Kisover Ein Kli Nitl Ela Dovra Nitl. That's Rav Yitzchak's halacha, that you can't move a Kli except for something that's movable on Shabbos. So go tell Rav Yitzchak that, Rav Huna already said over this Shmais in Bavel. Dom Rav Huna, Osin Mechitza L'Meis V'Shvil Chai, Then also mechitzel meis b'shvil meis, right? You have a person who's dead on Shabbos. You can't move him, and he's in the sun. And the chances are that he's going to start to decompose before you can have a chance to bury him. So you're allowed to make a mechitza to shade the body for the sake of the living and not for the sake of the dead. Okay. So what's the case, right? B'shvil meis mahi. What's the case? Dom Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, V'chein Tana Shila Mori, Meis Hamutl Bechama. You have a dead body that's in the sun, so, and you don't want him to decompose. So Boim Shnei B'nei Adam, the Yoshvin B'tzido. So two people come and they sit down next to the meis. Cham Lohem Milmata, when it gets hot underneath, Zem Mevi Mita V'Yoshev Aleha, V'Zem Mevi Mita V'Yoshev Aleha. So both of them bring mats, and they sit on them. Okay? And Tosfos explains, the chora, to have a mat doesn't have to get hot. You can move a mat anytime you want, even if you're not hot. You just decide you want to have a mat to sit on. But over here, since it could be clear that you're doing it for the sake of the mace, it has to be clear that you're doing it for the sake of the chai. So it has to be where people are clear that these people got hot and they brought the bed. Even though normally you can move a bed stam, here, since it's obvious you're doing it for the sake of the mace, it has to be clear that you're not. That you're doing it for the sake of the chai, even though ultimately you want it for the sake of the mace. Cham lohem milmala, when it gets hot from above, right? Meviyim machatzela, suporsin alehim. Then you bring what's called a mat, and hold it up over them. They hold the mat over them. Zezo kek mitaso v'nishmat, and then when they want to get up, one picks up the bed, right? And the other one picks up his bed, and the top automatically now is on over the mace. What you have is the following. Here's the mace, my watch. Here's a mita on this side and a mita on this side. They were holding the mat over them, right? And the beds were down like this. The mats were like this. They were holding, one was over here, one was there. They're holding a mat over them. And then they picked up the bed and lo and behold, there's an ohel, right, with the top of that mat that's on top of the two sides. Okay. So, and now the mace has an ohel over him. Okay. And Tosus explains that it had to be done that way, that the beds were after the top was on, because that's not the normal way of making an ohel. You don't make an ohel milmalo lamata. You make it, first you build the sides, then you put the top on. So if you build the sides first and put the top, it's usher to make an oel haroi. Forget about muktzah, it's oel the usher. But here, since you put the top was up before, and then you put the beds up, so you made it from top down, that's okay. Since it's an oel haroi, that's mutter. But you see over here that you wouldn't have been allowed to move the mats and the top for the sake of the mace. It had to be done for the sake of the chai, and then the mele was what's called okay for the to be over the mace too. And then after this whole process, you have the mechitza automatically, by magic, you have a mechitza over the mace. Rashi. The ain kli nitl eladovra nitl. The what's it called? Your halacha that you can't move a kli except for something that's movable was already said by Rav Huna in Bavel. Mesa mutl b'chama v'yishlochu shema yimar lasriach. We're afraid he may decompose. The yoshim b'tzido al gavi akarka kadesh yitzar u'michom akarka. So the two people come and they sit one on each side of him on the ground. So they'll have a reason to have a mat that's obvious because the ground is too hot to sit on. And eventually the mitos will be a mechitza for the mace. The ground is heated up by the sun, so it gets too hot to sit on the ground. And they take a mat and they hold it over their heads for what's it called, for shade. Then one picks up the bed and automatically it touches the bottom of the mat. The chain zeh nimtzis mechitza asuya meileha. Comes out the mechitza is automatically made. Sheyirtzu nishmatim v'holchim lehem. And when they want to, they can leave. And the what's it called? And the mace now has a mechitza over him. Rashi says also, Tosus quotes him here, that the dafka, they have to bring the beds, to sit on first, then the mat, right? The olsin also be them, they hold the mat over their heads with their hands, don't put it on the beds first. Adla acher shah, she yiskofum v'yishamtum. And then, only later, do they put up the side mechitzas when they get off the beds and put them up. The havi leki ahid amrin and haim madurta milmala lamata shari, avalasuya nekor mitos et zorecha oel, lo. The havi le milmata lamala, kederach binyan. Haim milan enosim oel aroi betchila b'shabbos. If you do it the normal way, sides and then top, that's aser. But if you put the top up first, and there are no sides, and then you put up the sides, that's okay. It's an oel aroi. Okay, so that's the, so we see that Rav Huna also holds enkli nitl el dovra nitl. Okay, itmar meis hamutl b'chama. If you have another similar situation, different eitzah, you have a meis that's in the sun. Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel hovcho mimita lemita. So the way of moving this meis, you want to get him out of the sun. Right, and we'll see that which way is more preferable, the mechitza way or this way. So you can bring mats and what's it called, and move him from one bed to another. Right, you pick up the mat, you don't touch the mace, you move the bed, and the mace moves, what's it called, because of that. And then you put him onto one bed, and then to another one, until you get him out of the sun. Rav Chanina bar Shalmi or Mishmei de Rav Amar, another Eitzah. Meniach olav kikar otinik, you put a loaf of bread or a child on the mace. Umetautlo, right? People who are afraid to bring children to cemeteries or levayas or around people who are dead, the Gemara obviously wasn't afraid of that. Not only you bring to levaya, you put them on top of the mace, so you can move the mace, what's it called, with the tinuk. Maybe here it's talking about a tinuk who's not capable of knowing what's going on, maybe. So, one second. Rashi. Hovcho mimita lemita, atche tagia letzel. You keep rolling him, the mace, from one bed to another until he gets into the shade. Okay. Zmar says, hecha di ika kikaro tinik, kule alma lo plige de shori. Where there's a tinnik or a kicker that you can put on the mace, and move him because you're moving him with something that's mutter, right? Everybody holds his mutter. Ki plige, where's the machlokas? The lesle. What's it called? Where there is no kikur or tinnik. In other words, it's for sure better to use the kikur of a tinnik. The question is, could you use the other eitzah? The eitzah of rolling him from bed to bed. Mar sover tilpul menatzad shmei tilpul. One holds that moving something indirectly is called moving muktzah. And therefore, picking up the bed and rolling the mace off, even though you're not touching the mace directly, right, but that's called tilpul menatzad. It's an indirect moving of muktzah. So one opinion holds that only kikur v'tinik is okay. But tiltul min atzad is not okay. Moving the mace from bed to bed, even though you're not touching the mace, moving the mace directly, you're only indirectly moving the mace by picking up the bed, that's still awesome. And the one who holds that you could use that eitzah holds that it's not called tiltul. Tiltul means moving the muktzah directly. But if you're moving it indirectly, that's okay. Lema katanoi, let's say that there's a machlokas tanoim in this inyan. Ein matzilin es hameisim v'nei hadleika. Right? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to save a mace from being burnt. There's a fire, and there's a mace in the house, right? The funeral parlor's on fire. And there's a mace inside. So, what's it called? You're not allowed to save the mace, just like you're not allowed to put out the fire. You're not allowed to pull the mace out, and he should become cremated. It's not nobody's fault. We don't let you save the mace. Omer of Yehuda ben Lakish. Shamati shematzilin es hameisim v'nei hadleika. Right? I heard that you are allowed to save a mace, right, on Shabbos. It's on Shabbos. Right? You're allowed to pull out the mace from the fire. Heichidami. Right? Obviously, it's not pikuach nefesh. Okay? In other words, the mace is already gone. So you're not going to save him from anything. Just to save him from being burnt and being desecrated by being burnt. So heichidami. Ida ika kikur otinek my time in the Tanakama. Right? If you can get to the body to pull it out before it gets burned, and you have a kikur or a tinnik to put on it, then what's the problem? You're always allowed to move a mace with a kikur or a tinnik. So what's the difference if there's a fire or not a fire? Okay? Even if there's not a fire, you can move me. Surely if there is a fire. Idaleka, if there is no kikur of a tinnik, my time at Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. How are you allowed to move a mace without a kikur of a tinnik, even to save him from a fire? Must be that it's talking where there is no kikur v'tinik, but you're going to move him indirectly by rolling him from bed to bed, right? Indirect moving. So the one who holds it, you're not allowed to save him, holds it indirect moving, is called moving muktzah, and it's awesome, right? Demar sover tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul, that's the Tanakhama of the Mishnah that says that ein matzilin, right? Ein matzilin es hameis, okay? Because there's no way of moving him beheter. Because even moving him indirectly is aser. The mar sovar lo shmei tiltul. And Yehuda ben Lakish holds that tiltul min atzad is not called tiltul, and therefore there's a way of moving this mace to save him from the fire. Mars is low. The kulei alma tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul. Everybody holds that moving indirectly is considered moving. And therefore, really it should be aser. Behind the time of Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish say you're allowed to do it? Because he holds that this is the lesser of two evils. We're afraid that if you don't let the person move the muktzah, meaning the mace, okay, even in a way that's normally aser, he's going to come to do something worse, he'll come to put out the fire, right? Which is close to an issur d'oraisa, even though if you hold melacha shein tzricha legufa is potter, right, putting out a fire is melacha shein tzricha legufa, but lamaisa, the Ran says, the melacha shein is so close to an issur d'oraisa that we treat it like an issur d'oraisa. Even according to the Man D'Yomar, holds melacha shein tzricha legufa is potter, right, but the Rabbanan make zeiras based on something that's only a melacha shein tzricha legufa. Amr Reb Yehuda ben Shila, Amr Reb Asi, Amr Reb Yochanan, halacha Reb Yehuda ben Lakish ben Meis. Halacha is like him, that you're allowed to move the mace. We'll see if you're allowed to move it stam, or you still need a tiltul min atzad or whatever, but the halacha is you're allowed to move it, even if it's aser, normally to move a mace, right, and you're doing it in a way that's normally aser. Here it's mutter, because we're afraid if we don't let him move the mace, he's going to come to put out the fire. Rashi. Min hatzad kilachar yad. Minat Siltu Minat Sad means two things, we'll see. One is where it's indirect. You're moving the bed and the mace is moving automatically. Or, Kalachar Yad, you do it in an unusual way. Backhanded. You move Muktzah with the back of your hand. Idaleka, Vahai Matzilin Dekom Rabbi Yehuda Ben Lakish, Nematalkele Lahedya. Who? Right? If there's no kicker of a tinnik, how does Rabbi Yehuda Ben Lakish say you're allowed to move the mace directly? Must be, he calls it indirect moving. And that's why it's mutter. My Talmud Rabbi Yehuda, Mar says, no, everybody holds that tiltul min atzad is tiltul. And therefore, even if you move it indirectly, it's osur. So why is Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish say it's mutter? El alav min atzad hu dekashar. He's mutter even to move regularly. Ilo shari slay aval b'mut l'cham elo shari. In the case of the dleika, we're afraid you'll put out the fire. But if it's just a mace in the sun, and you don't have a kicker of a tinnit, and you don't have a way of making a mechitza, and you don't have, what's it called, any other way of moving the mace except tiltul min atzad, it would be osur according to this. You wouldn't be allowed to move the mace unless there's a fire and we're afraid you'll put out the fire. But otherwise, stam to move a mace for the sake of the mace, because it may decompose in the sun, you can only do it with a kicker or tinnik or with a mechitza, but not tiltul min atzad. That's the Gemara's maskana. Okay? There's two things here. First of all, taking a mace out of the sun. Okay, so we had two possibilities how to do it. The Gemara in the end says tiltul min atzad you can't do. So you either can do it by making a mechitza, right, or you can do it by putting a kicker of a tinok. Which one is preferable? So the Shibulei Aleket says that first comes the mechitza. If you can't make the mechitza, then you can use a kicker of a tinok. The Meiri says the opposite, and the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, are mashma like that. The first is kikr v'tinik. And then, if you can't have a kikr v'tinik, then you can make the mechitza. Okay, but the first preference is the kikr v'tinik. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, the Rav Yoh says that when it says the kikr v'tinik, it means dafka kikr v'tinik. You can't bring anything else, right, and put it on the mace. Only either food, right, a loaf of bread, or what's it called, or a baby. Why? Because then it's clear that you're doing this, right, for the sake of the mace, and these kalim are be'etzim mutter. You're bringing something mutter to be able to move the mace. Because you bring any other kli, maybe you intend to bury those things with the mace. Maybe those things anyway are mutter. So only a kicker of a tinnik is obvious. You're not going to bury the kid with the mace, right, and the mace doesn't need a loaf of bread. So it's obvious that you're doing this for the sake of bringing something that's mutter. That's what the Rav Yoh says. The Ramban holds differently. He holds any kli is okay. Kikr v'tinik is only an example. Anything that's mutter to move, you're allowed to bring, put it on the mace, even clothing. Okay? The Mordechai, in the name of Rabbi Avigdor Cohen, goes one step further. Not only can you bring kalim or clothing and put it on the mace and move him, but even the clothing that the mace is wearing is good enough. You don't have to bring anything. The only time you need a kicker of a tinnik if the guy is dead is naked. But if he's wearing something, then you can move him because of his clothes. But the Beis Yosef argues on that, and he says the clothes that a mace is wearing are bottled to him, and therefore they have the same thing as the mace. Right? And the Magen Avraham says, no, the only thing that's bottled to the mace is what you're going to bury him in. But if you intend to take those clothes off to put tachrichim on, right, then that's not bottled. Right? And the Maral says that clothing is bottled to a living person, but not to a mace that you're not going to bury in those clothing. So, Shulchan Aruch Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says you have to be machmer. It brings down a Yesh Omrin that even the clothing that he's wearing is good enough. But Lamaisa, we're makel that you could use any kli, but the clothing that he's wearing, that is bottled to him, and therefore doesn't have a din that you're moving it for the sake of the clothing. It's also just like the mace. The mace is mukta, so the clothing is also mukta. Okay. Now, tiltul min atzad. So the Ran says there are two ways of tiltul min atzad. Okay, tiltul min atzad is you metaltul something that's mutter, okay, and indirectly the asr dika thing gets moved, right? The example is you have something that's buried in earth, okay, that these are what's called buried turnips or onions that were not connected to the ground, and they put them in the earth to keep them fresh. So on Shabbos, when you pick up the onion, the earth, the onion's not mukta, but the earth is. So when you pick up the onion, the earth falls to the side. So you're indirectly moving the earth from the sake of picking up the onion, and that's mutter. That tiltul manatzad is mutter. Okay? Then there's another kind of tiltul manatzad, where you move the mukta backhanded, like Rashi says, kalachar yad. Okay, where you're actually touching the mukta, but I want to move the tape recorder like this, instead of moving it regularly. That's also called tiltul manatzad. Okay. So the Rith paskens that tiltul min hatzad is considered tiltul, right? And the only heter in, and the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch also paskens like that, and the only heter to make tiltul min hatzad, we'll see, is for a mace that's in a, what's it called, in a burning building, because we're afraid you'll put out the fire. Otherwise, you can't move a mace tiltul min hatzad. You can only do it with a mechitza, with kick or a tinnik, but not tiltul min hatzad. Okay, not bed to bed to bed, which is moving the mace indirectly. The Balamor paskens that, what's it called, tiltul min hatzad is not tiltul, and it's mutter, even to take the mace out of the sun, you can do it by rolling from bed to bed. Okay. The Rith is mechalek, though, by tiltul min hatzad, between things that have no tzorich for Shabbos, because we said, the Gemara later on says, that you're allowed to pick up that onion, and let the earth fall to the side. L'chara, why should that be mutter? If tiltul min hatzad is osur, and you can't even move a mace from bed to bed, why should you be allowed to move the onion when the earth falls to the side? So the Rith said the difference between something that's a tzorach Shabbos, right, like fruit or food or something like that, or something that's not a tzorach Shabbos, like a mace. By a mace, we say tiltul min hatzad is tiltul, and it's osur. By peiros and things that you need for Shabbos, then tiltul min hatzad is not tiltul, and you're allowed to, what's it called, something that's tzorach Shabbos, you're allowed to move. Okay. The Meiri makes another chiluk. He says that, what's it called, let's see the Rosh. The Rosh makes a chiluk, right, where it depends if the ikar tiltul is for the sake of the thing that's osur, like the mace. By the mace, you're moving the thing min hatzad for the sake of the isur. You want to get the mace out of the sun. So the purpose of your moving the mace, whose mukta, is for the sake of the mace. And you're doing it indirectly. That's awesome. But in the case of the onion, you're not moving the earth for the sake of the earth. You're moving the earth for the sake of the onion, which is mutter. So there, tiltul min hatzad is mutter. Where you're moving the tiltul min hatzad is for the sake of the thing that's mutter, then tiltul min hatzad is okay. Where the tiltul min hatzad is for the sake of the thing that's osur, then tiltul min hatzad is not okay, and that's takahu paskin. And there's another thing. That's the psak, okay? Tiltul min hatzad. So tiltul min hatzad means moving mukta with the back of your hand. If you're not doing it for the sake of the mukta, you're doing it for the sake of something mutter, that's okay. But if you're doing it, for instance, I want to put the tape recorder on the side of the table because I need the table. Even though if the tape recorder says mukta machmas chisor and kis. So I'm not allowed to move it to make space on the table. But I want space on the table. So I'm allowed to move that with my back of my hand. Or I can move it by picking up something else and the thing will move. Okay, that's tiltul min hatzad, the tzorach dover hamutter, the makom, not for the sake of the tape recorder. But if there's a leak in the ceiling that's falling on the tape recorder, and I want to push the tape recorder out of the way to get it out of the leak, then that will be also to do with the back of my hand or with some other indirect way, because I'm doing it for the sake of the tape recorder, not for the sake of something that's mutter. Okay, that, however, the Shulchan Aruch paskens and the Chayyadim paskens like that, and the Mishnah Berurah also paskens like that, that's only where I'm being metaltal kalachar yad, with my hand. What happens with my body? I kick the tape recorder on the side. I nudge it with my body. That tiltul begufo is not called tiltul at all, and you're allowed to move mukta even l'tzorech ha'esir. The case over here, you want to move the tape recorder because there's a leak. You're allowed to take your elbow and move it. Well, I'm not sure your elbow, but you're allowed to take your foot and kick it. That's called tiltul begufo. Okay, I'm not sure if your elbow is called gufo or that's considered part of yado kalachar yad. I'm not sure. But your foot, for sure, you're allowed to kick the tape recorder to the side, or you're allowed to kick it with your knee or something like that, or your hip or whatever, if you can, you know, maneuver it and get it out of the way. Okay, that's the Mishnah Berurah Pasuk. The Chazon Ish argues, and the Chazon Ish holds that tiltul begufo is the same thing as tiltul kalachar yad, and there's no difference, and therefore if it's a tzorech, the iser, you're not allowed to move it with your foot either. Okay. So therefore, lemaisa, tiltul min hatsad, with your hands, right, is only mutter if it's l'tzorech dover hamutter, not l'tzorech dover ha'aser. Tiltul begufo, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is mutter for any reason, and the Chazon Ish holds that it's only mutter the same way it'd be mutter to do it backhanded, only l'tzorech dover ha'aser. Okay, now when you're saving this mace from the fire, okay, which we do, where we allow it, even if tiltul min hatsad is aser. Okay? So now do you have to do tiltul min hatsad? When you save the mace, if you can do it with tiltul min hatsad, since anyway tiltul min hatsad is aser, so is there any difference then to do it min hatsad or to just pull the mace out regularly? Either way, it's aser normally, and we're only being matter it so you don't put out the fire. So is there any reason why you should have to do it min hatsad? So the Rif holds, yeah, even though tiltul min hatsad is aser, but it's not as bad as mamash pulling muktzah. So if you can do it, you can get the mace out by rolling him from bed to bed to get him out of the fire, that's better. If you can't, then you can actually pull him out, but hakau, better do it in a more mutter way than a more osser way. And the Ran holds, no, it's mutter, you don't have to worry about tiltul min hatsad anyways osser, right? L'chora, the machlokas is, when tiltul min hatsad is osser, what does that mean? Right? It's mamish like moving it, or no, it's not mamish like moving it, but it's still osser. Right? So if it's not mamish like moving it, but it's still osir, then it's better not to move it directly. It's better to move it like this, right? You have a choice. But if it's pshat is tiltul min hatsad is mamish tiltul, then there's no difference. Then you can move it regular, and moving it min hatsad is the same thing. That's a machlokas. The Ramban says that there's no adifus even a kikra v'tinuk. Since they were matar you to move it mitnei hadleika, right? So then even a kicker of a tinnik is okay. That we don't even need a kicker. Even if you have a kicker of a tinnik ready, you don't have to put that on the mace. Right, here's another dimension. Once they said it's mutter, mitnei adleika, it's mutter completely. There's no more tiltul muktza. So you don't have to go around and do it in a way that's mutter. Just move it. They're mati to move it. Because they're afraid. If you start looking around for a kicker of a tinnik, maybe you also put out the fire. So just get the mace out of there. The Meiri holds note that if it's possible with a kicker of a tinnik, that's better. If not, then tiltul min hatsad. And if that's not shayach, then move the mace directly. In other words, you have to try to do it in the most mutter dikka way possible, according to the Meiri, and only b'dievid, if there's no other eitzah, you can even pull the mace out of the fire, because we're afraid otherwise you'll put out the fire. The Rambam also holds like that, and what's it called? Shulchan Aruch also is mashma like that, that first you have to do kikra v'tinik, then tiltul min hatsad, and then only after that you can you what's it called take them out completely. Obviously over here the mechitzah is not going to help when what's it called by the fire. Okay, there's a machlokas though the Beis Yosef and the Rosh Yosef, which is better, tiltul min hatsad or kikra v'tinuk? Which should you try first? Right, the Beis Yosef holds that tiltul min hatsad comes after kikra v'tinuk. And the Rosh Yosef says that once there's no kikr v'tinik, there's no inyan of tiltul min hatsad, like we said before. Right? Tiltul min hatsad is anyway tiltul, so might as well take them out directly instead of bothering with the beds. Okay.